This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Wit, Wisdom and Pratfalls with me, Joan Ellis, and my very special guest, the Connection Queen herself, Lynn Blackledge. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you again. And you've been a very busy bee, I gather.
I have, yes.
So it's with not just with all things social media, but you've been a judge for Riding Bloom. You've set up lots of new networking things, lots of new charity fundraising events. So it's all go.
It certainly is, yes.
Brilliant. And what's been, so what's sort of top of your mind at the moment? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward immediately. I'm going on granny duty in a week's time. So that always is very special. That is very much my why. So I shall be with the grandchildren for a week. And then I'm looking forward to the charity fundraisers we've got coming up, where we're going to be raising funds for Aspire and for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice.
Okay, so tell us a little bit. I mean, what is it for those people listening who may not know? What's Aspire?
Aspire is it's the old Trinity Church in Dover Street in Ryde, and 3 years ago Heath Monaghan took it over. The congregation was falling, you know, it wasn't earning its keep, I suppose, and it was going to close as a church, and it's now become a community centre, and it's a real hub of the community. But I was there back when Heath, well, I knew before Heath got the keys, and he said to me, come and have a look round and tell me what you think, Lynn. And he actually challenged me and the other giggly granny, as we were then, you know, we're not sort of working together at the moment, but the giggly grannies were challenged to bring in the troops to decorate the first room 3 years ago. So that was quite fun. And now, 3 years on, there's so many different things go on in that building. So that's amazing.
So tell us about the fundraiser you're going to be doing.
Well, the fundraiser, I'll tell you how it came about, because back in January, in a mad moment when I was on a live broadcast with Danny of the, and I was doing the live streaming myself, with Danny from the hospice, she was talking about this year being the 35th anniversary of the Earl Mountbatten Hospice, and they had a scheme where you could pledge to raise £35, £350 or £3,500. And I sort of thought, well, 35 probably isn't enough, but let's go for 350. And then in a very mad moment, while I was live on broadcast, I said, let's raise 3,500. So now I have to be accountable. And we raise, but not just on my own. It wasn't about me. It was about a community thing, about the network coming in and working together. And so back in January, I held an online and offline card sale, because I was actually part of Phoenix Cards. And so I decided to give most of my commission away over a 5-day period. And so we raised the first 100 and something then, and then we've been a bit quiet. So you know, suddenly I thought, gosh, halfway through the year we need to up our game if we're going to do this, and it's achievable. So what I did was ask my network, you know, my network group at one of the meeting, or a couple of the meeting, I said, come on folks, what shall we do? And they came up with various ideas. So on the 29th of September we're going to have a business expo at Aspire, and because we're using Aspire, we're doing half the money for Aspire and half the money for the hospice, so that, you know, that makes it very fair, and both are dear to my heart.
So when you say business expo, what is that for people who may not know?
Yeah, right. So basically anybody who's running a business here on the island, they can get in touch. We've got social media presence, and I'm pushing it out a lot there, and so they can ask me for information so that they can have an exhibition stand, which is the stands are £25, so it's not unreasonable, but that money is all going to charity. And for that they will be able to set up on the 29th of September and promote their own business. We're also hoping to have goodie bags so that they can put things in the goodie bag. If there's people who can't come but want to be represented, we could also offer them an opportunity to be in the goodie bag for in return for a small fee. And so ideally it's basically promoting lots and lots of businesses on the island to people who either are thinking of starting a business and want to talk to business owners, or people who might want the services of the businesses. So the audience will be quite broad, you know, people wanting to see what's going on in the community and see all the different businesses that are available. So, you know, that's really what that one's all about.
Brilliant. And you've got one that sounds rather dear to my heart, a medieval banquet coming up on the 14th of October.
Yes. Well, you see, when I put this out there to say, you know, we need to raise some funds, who's going to help me? One of my members, Daniel Bimpson, who runs a business, runs a website, he does website design, but he also does event management. He came up with the idea of doing this medieval banquet, and the site lends itself beautifully for a medieval banquet.
So is that going to be actually at Aspire?
Yes, that's actually going to be at Aspire too. And he's also working in conjunction with him is Joanne Pierotti, who runs a business called Making a Dream, and she tends to dress up venues, or she does wedding stuff. She's done weddings on the beach and arches and things, but of course medieval banquet, she was in her element, looking up and seeing how she could help to dress the church. So she's doing that in conjunction with Daniel, and I have done events, so I'm putting in a little bit of help where I can, and obviously I will be, you know, on the publicity side, that will be major for me. So pushing it out so we sell all the tickets.
And how much are the tickets?
I think the final information, I think they're going to be about £30. I just don't want to confirm that until they've confirmed it back to me. But I think it's around that sort of price.
Okay, so. And for that you get a 3-course meal with wine? And
yeah, I think, well, I know that there's the meal is all being discussed. So we're rather lucky because Aspire are just about to go into the hog roast business, you know, they're just getting the equipment and they need to do that. So it's still just the last bits are being put together before we, you know, we push it out there to the public.
So. Okay, and so those any people who want to go and get a ticket, will they be dressed in do we have to turn up in medieval garb?
We probably wouldn't say you couldn't come in if you didn't, because some people might not like to, but I think it adds so much to the atmosphere if you do take part and dress up.
Okay, will there be strolling minstrels and players?
Yeah, I was talking with Joe yesterday and I've been talking with Daniel, so those are all just, that's all just coming together, but I wanted to mention it today because obviously people can save the date, so that's the 14th of October and the expo to 29th of September. So,
and again, can you just give us, remind us of the address of Aspire? I know it's in Ryde, but it's quite a difficult place to find. Isn't
yes,
it?
it's what was the old Trinity Church. So it's the church with Aspire. So once you get into Dover Street, you can't really miss it. If you're coming up from the seafront, you come up the road that's the side of Ryde Castle, and that's Dover Street. And if you keep coming up on the left, you will see Aspire up there.
Lovely. And I'm sure, will you be going? You're obviously going to be going and enjoying the feast.
I am going, yes, certainly. And yesterday I was sorting out my outfit because I thought, as our fancy dress shop has gone from Ryde, what was I going to do? But Jo said she'd got something, part of an outfit that would fit, and then I realised I'd got another bit, and you know, I know I can put it all together. So
I'm sure you can.
I shall probably be more the buxom wench rather than the lady of the manor.
What are those towering hats?
Oh,
the
yes.
Ladies? What are they called?
I don't. Do you know? I don't know. You mean you mean the ones the they're pointy hats,
that's
aren't they?
Right.
And they got to a veil, haven't
that's
they?
Yes, right. Yeah. And they wore like a wimple, like
yes.
A nun would have.
That's yeah. Right. Yes, I don't know what they're called. I'll have to research that yes. And have a look. But what we will be doing is pushing the publicity straight away, and just hopping back to the expo. As people are starting, they're just now booking, several people have got the forms and they're just sending them back to me and making their payment. As soon as their payment's in, I will be promoting their business. So not only are they promoted on the day, but they'll be promoted all the weeks running up. I think we've got about 7 or 8 weeks until the event, so they will be getting that all as part of their fee.
Okay, and how? What is the fee?
The fee is £25 for the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if they want to contact you about it, how do they go about that, Lynn?
Well, I'm Lynn Blackledge. If you you type that in, I'll come up all over the place. But I'm putting that out through All Things Networking, which is my one of the businesses I run. In fact, it goes on all our business pages because we run more than one business. So it will not be difficult to find. But people can just message me if they want to know more about that.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you. So that leads us on nicely to All Things Networking, which you say is a free service for businesses. So you can tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes. It's a networking group originally, I started it under a different name back in December 2010 when I found that I couldn't find the right network group that suited me. Because, you know, it's horses for courses. There are some very formal ones and there are some more informal ones. And it's what really suits you as a business. And back in 2010, I couldn't find the right one. So I started my own group. And that was called White Buzz because it was all about the buzz on the Isle of Wight. But more recently, I've buddied up with my son and we are helping now with social media for people and productivity and all sorts of things to help businesses. And we are going beyond the island. So, of course, White Buzz didn't really then suit anymore. So we became All Things Networking and it does what it says on the tin. We're networking, you know, in fact, we're networking across the UK and global. It's starting to go globally as well.
So what's been the most satisfying part of that role for you?
For me, it is very much connecting people and helping them progress. I have been nicknamed the Connection Queen. And basically, I love to see that. I feel it's like dropping a pebble in the pool. I make the introductions and then I love to watch as various people then meet up outside the networking meetings to progress their relationships and their businesses. And one of the girls who was part of the group before, she got connected here on the island with a big company in London and got a lot of business out of that. So, you know, it gives me a little bit of a warm glow to know that I actually made the connection in the first place. Obviously, I can't claim all the credit because it's then what they do once they've been connected. But there's a lot of local businesses now connecting up. And one of our favourite places to go is Love Coffee, who are members of ours in Newport. And I might have a business meeting upstairs and my phone pings and I see that several of my members are having a meeting downstairs, you know, to progress their businesses. So that's really rather nice.
Well, I see you all over social media, but it always involves coffee and cake for you.
Yes, it does. I have to be careful because actually I've gone grain-free now for my diet, so I have to be much more choosy. But everybody seems to love cake, so and we love to put pictures of coffee and cake up because actually that helps to promote the businesses we're in. We have been doing breakfast and lunch as well these days. We've been up at Kiva's Cafe up in the top of Ryde and you know, so we might have had a morning meeting at 10 and had breakfast and then some of us have stayed on and had lunch as well. You know, what better than supporting the local businesses?
So how much of this is business and how much is just having a great time?
Well, it sounds like it's having a great time, but actually it's making the connections, and what happens then is the businesses, the relationships amongst the members start to grow, and we're inviting more and more people to come along. Sometimes the groups are small, but they're different combinations each time. There's a core of people who try to get to absolutely almost every meeting, but of course that's not possible. That's why I hold so many, so that people can get to some of them. So that's why I vary the times and the places, so that people will have an opportunity to get to something. And basically it is just getting to know people, because people will buy from people they know, like, and trust. But those meetings are usually not much business. It's mostly talking about the world in general, but the business it seems to happen anyway. They obviously say what they do, but then we discuss all sorts of things, and then business follows on once they feel comfortable with the people they're talking to.
Yeah, I suppose it's like kind of people, a lot of business is done on the golf course, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
It's that kind of thing. Yeah.
It is. And our group is very friendly, because some people, you know, are quite nervous, especially if you just started a business up, you know, and you're one man band and you haven't got other people to talk to and rely on within the business. So I make sure I do a meet and greet at the door for people who are very nervous. In fact, I've met people outside and come in with them if they're really nervous, because I know what that's like. I used to have that issue many years ago, don't have it anymore, but I did, was very quiet and shy at one stage, so I understand that.
And you are always live streaming.
Yes.
Okay. So for anyone listening who, you know, doesn't get that concept, why would you want to, why would you need to, why would that be something you're doing a lot of the time? What's that all about then?
Well, live streaming, there are a lot of people who say, oh, no, don't want to be on camera, can't do that. But actually, if you're running a business, the best way to get to engage with other people, and not just for business, obviously it works for other things as well, but obviously I'm doing it a lot for the businesses, is that actually if people get to know the person behind the business, they think, oh yes, I rather like her, I can relate to her. Oh, I'm going to see, you know, I'm going to go in her shop, or I'm going to, you know, get in touch with her and you know, see about doing some business with her. So it's raising your visibility. And the thing is, these days there's so much noise out there with social media, but video is very much the way forward, and those people using video are making the engagement so much quicker. I haven't got the figures. My son is the whiz with the figures about, you know, how much benefit you get from doing video, but it's definitely the way to go.
And your son is Tristan Griffiths.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And with him, you run It's Nomad 9?
We do, yes. The It's Nomad. So the All Things Networking is the free networking. Anybody can come. There's no fee to that. There used to be, but we've changed the structure. So that's free. So anybody can come along to any of those meetings. The only criteria is you have to be nice and you have to be kind. You know, that's really the rules, right?
I think that's a very big ask in this day and age, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. Especially looking on social media sometimes as to how people behave. Yeah. And they forget that it's social media, not anti-social media. But, you know, we just keep putting positive stuff out there to try and remind them. When we see people being a bit antisocial, we'll just put a lot of positive stuff out in the hope that we can shift their mindsets. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but, you know.
Yeah, it amazes me that I think before social media, we were unaware of perhaps what the zeitgeist was, what everybody else was thinking. And now with social media, people are using it as a very public platform to say exactly what they think in, you know, what is a very shocking to me and often very inappropriate way. Yes. About subject matter that you think, surely you can't say that and be that unkind or mean about something, but someone or something, but they are, and they just don't seem to care, and they'll actively put their name to it. They won't even hide behind social media.
That's right. And I've actually been the victim of it several times, but I've learned to deal with it. And I'll just come back to the coffee and cake. That was a fine example. Somebody said to me, messaged me, and I knew who it was, and he messaged me and he said, why are you always putting out pictures of coffee and cake, you know? Because I think he belonged to a more formal network group. And as I say, it's horses for courses, you know? And I don't fit into the formal, I think you might have noticed. But I respect people who want the formal, that's fine. But my clients love to meet in coffee shops, and there's cake and coffee in coffee shops. So he was trying to pull me down, and he said, oh, you know, he was going on like that. And so my answer to that was to write a blog about coffee and cakes and just, you know, just actually play on it rather than shrink and say, oh, I mustn't do it. But the same guy also was very critical. When I did I'm live streaming now because that's the very best video form at the moment for what we do, but before that it was you could make your video and then put it up. So of course,
are you live streaming now?
No, I'm not. No. I should have done, perhaps we should have done, but
I wouldn't have minded.
Oh, I never even thought to say. Yes. So 3 years, about 3 years ago, I think it was, I was in the right place at the right time to do a video course for some one of the gurus online who was trialing it before she packaged it as something to sell. And so I did this 30-day video challenge, and every day for 30 days, she'd give us something that we had to do and put online. So I did this, and this same person popped up and said, Lynn, I've watched your ridiculous little videos and you are the laughing stock. So, Nick, you see, I've learned to deal with all this now. And so I said, oh, thank you so much for taking time out of your really busy day to, you know, to stop and watch my videos. That's very kind of you. And and I'm so glad I'm making people laugh, because laughter's the best medicine. So that's how I deal with those sort of things. It's always, a, you know, turn it round and make it positive.
And what about the school of thought that says when you get trolled, to ignore it? What do you think about that?
You can and you can't. I mean, it is easy just to ignore it. What I tend to do, and this actually seems to work, is if somebody puts something, and I remember several occasions like this, somebody will put something rude, I'll come in and put something very polite or positive or, you know, some nice sentence. They come back and have another go to try and be horrible and write something, you know, nasty, and then I'll come back again. And eventually they begin to think how silly they look, because they, you know, if anybody's watching on, you know, what does that actually say about that person? You know, so I'm very much about collaboration and working with other people. I don't see any other people doing what we do as competition. You know, there are people out there running network groups, there are people out there doing social media, and more and more people doing live streaming. A lot of them we've taught, but you know, and so that's not competition to us. That's, we find that as actually, let's collaborate, let's work together, and let's do the very best we can do, you know, all together. So yeah, that's how we deal with that.
Brilliant.
It's taken a long time to get to that, because obviously it's hurtful when people start. But, you know, I'm of course not in my first flush of youth. I'm sort of, you know, beyond the retiring age, which retirement's nothing I'm going to do anytime soon. But, you know, perhaps as I've got older, I've just learnt more ways of dealing with those things.
Yes, I think it's something we all have to cope with now with the internet, because, as I said earlier, it's never short of somebody trying to knock other people down. And even in the most horrifying circumstances, they'll still find something nasty to say, which is quite beyond me, frankly.
Yes.
But I think it's probably a really good time to go for a break. So go and get your coffee and cake. But please join us very soon. And we'll hear more from the Connection Queen, Lynn Blackledge. Thank you for listening.
Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectors Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
I'm here with Lynn today, Lynn Blackledge, the Connection Queen. And just before the break there, Lynn, we were talking about your social media business that you run with your son, Tristan Griffiths. And that's called it's Nomad 9, and it's social media. And you pay what you can afford, you're telling me.
Well, yes. I mean, we deliver a lot of free content through the It's Nomad 9 page. And Tristan will do a lot of live broadcasts about all sorts of things. And a lot of that will be free, so people can see and, you know, get a flavour of what we do. And then there are those people who want help, specific help with their social media. And that is a paid members group, and that's called Social Media Mentors Global. SMMG for short. And so within that group, every week, Tristan goes live with 2 hours of question and answers. So anybody within the group can ask anything they want about anything to do with their social media or their productivity. And we always insist that no question is a silly question. You know, if you're thinking it, then somebody else is probably thinking it but too shy to ask. So we encourage them to ask any questions they like. And they don't have to be on the broadcast when it's live. They can, you know, listen to the replay, put their questions in during the week and listen to the replay. And what we've done, because we like to, Tristan's tagline is he selfishly wants to help everybody with all these things. So what he decided to do, this was his idea, but he ran it past me. Actually, what we deliver would be, if it was at the proper price, would be £120 a month. Well, of course, there's a lot of businesses out there who are just starting out. They're having to pay for websites, they're having to pay for leaflets and all these things, don't have that sort of budget. So what we did, we put it out to say, pay what you can afford. And it's working very, very well, because, of course, if you're just a startup business, you will be able to afford less than if you're a very established, much bigger business. So that's what we did.
And I would imagine a lot of people would slightly overpay in a world because they're so happy to have got someone to help them with.
Well, yes. I mean, really, the experience they're getting is very good, and we're getting some good testimonials coming in now. And the thing is, if we could teach you something that can save you hours of time, and I mean, recently, Tristan actually stood in as a speaker the speaker for the ladies' lunch dropped out due to a family medical issue, and so she couldn't come, obviously. So Tristan stood in at the last minute and did a 25-minute presentation, which is actually online for anybody to see. So if they want to see it, I can point you to that. But he took my phone off and used me as an example. He didn't tell me he was going to do it, but he showed that by even moving one app on your phone into a different place, you can save significant amounts of time. It may be only 1 second at a time, but if it's something like Facebook, and some people open Facebook 50 times a day, that's 50 seconds multiplied up by the days in the year. You know, there's significant amounts of things that we can help you just to save time. And that's the one thing that business owners always say, I don't have time to do it. But we all have 24 hours, so it's making people find the best ways of using their time.
Yes, and I mean, it's like anything, if you can't do it, then you are struggling, isn't it? And
yes,
you're wasting time.
That's
and
right.
My husband, bless him, he will spend hours trying to conquer something and trying to find out how to do it. And I said, look, please, you know, give it 10 minutes, give it
yes.
20 minutes, and then just park it, and
yes.
we'll get somebody, usually Ian Mack, the Vectus Radio
yes.
guru. You know, I say, Ian will be able to do it in the blink of an eye.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
We're just hopeless at this, and we just have to put our hands up. We you know, we're so self-taught, but I'm very well aware that there's so many things we don't know and we're not doing.
That's right. And the thing is, one of our very common phrases is, you don't know what you don't know. So you can't ask the question because you don't know what it is that you don't know. Whereas if you give us your pain points, then we will, you know, very quickly see what it is that you need to solve your pain.
Yes, well, that's a really good way of putting it. And I think that's very interesting that you don't, because it is such an unknown world to mm-hmm. a lot of us people like me. You feel that you're just dipping your toe in the water because you have to, in order to try and keep up in this world, mm-hmm. In this technological, you know, age we find ourselves in. Then, but you know somewhere deep that you're not doing it quite right, and you're not doing it as often as you should, and you're not doing it as well as you could, or mainly effectively as you could.
Yes.
So it's great that there are people like you and your son are about to kind of, like I say, ease the pain. So again, people like me, if we need help, what do we do?
Get in touch. You can come through either of our personal pages. That's Lynn Blackledge or Tristan Griffiths. That's Tristan John Griffiths, or through It's Nomad 9, or through All Things Networking. You'll find us. I mean, people say we're all over the internet like a rash, but that's intentional. That's, you know, that's what we do.
That's your job.
Yes, yes.
Brilliant. There'd be something wrong if you weren't, actually, Lynn, wouldn't there?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, we do get criticised for posting a lot, but actually, that means you've seen us, doesn't it? You know, we are there. And the funny thing now is that because of the live streaming that I do, you know, I have my face on camera a lot. So I get actually business owners popping out from behind their van, seeing me coming along the road and saying, you're Lynn, aren't you? And so it's working, obviously.
Brilliant. And what about kind of privacy, where people think, actually, I seem to be in that live stream, don't want to be in it? How does that work?
Well, that obviously it's more difficult. I mean, if I'm in a closed group, or if I, for example, let's take the ladies' lunch. If there's a speaker at the ladies' lunch, obviously we want to promote the ladies' lunch and how great it is. But I always ask the speaker if it's okay, because of course some of them are talking on medical terms, which might be a bit more, you know, we don't want to put that out there. So I always ask the speaker last month. It was a little bit more, no, we won't put that out there, because there are very genuine good reasons why. So obviously it's more difficult if it's in the public domain, and I know there are things that are going on now. You see, I try not to get children in the broadcast, but of course when they're out in a carnival or something like that, it has become public area to be able to do that.
Yes, I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
That, you know, you can ask the speaker, you can ask the performer, but it's very difficult when you're filming the crowd, or
yes.
And there are people in the background, especially
yes.
children, because I, you know, it that is a big issue now, isn't it?
Yes.
So is that not an issue for you?
Not so much, because it is now. I mean, it is now acceptable, but obviously I don't home in on children unless there was a dance school that were doing a performance, and I asked the teacher, and she said, yes, they've all signed disclaimers. That's okay. That sort of thing, specific. If they're in the background, they're not named. These children are not named. So it's, you know, it's very, very difficult for anybody to know who they were.
Yeah.
It is a difficult area. And, but that's how, you know, I've sort of keep asking the questions to make sure that I'm sticking within
the boundaries, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And funny enough, that brings us on nicely to you're going to the Illuminated Carnival tonight at Ventnor, aren't
Tomorrow
you?
Night.
Tomorrow night.
Yes,
brilliant.
Yes.
What time does that start then?
I think it's 9:15. I'm pretty sure it's 9:15. They're also having fireworks afterwards, which should have been on Wednesday, when it should have been the main carnival on Wednesday, and I was going to head over. But actually, it was such a torrential rain, they decided that actually wasn't a good idea. So they're having the Illuminated, but they're also putting the carnival, the fireworks on. I think that's from the Spyglass Inn. I think they're the ones doing the fireworks. I know it's all in conjunction, but, you know... I'm sure it starts at 9:15.
Fantastic. And I think the weather's going to be good enough, don't you?
I hope so. But I mean, when I first started live streaming on my isleofwight.live page, which is things that are all good about the island, specifically about the island rather than about businesses, because the business stuff goes on the ATN page. But we started with a completely blank page. Nobody actually... engage with the page at all, and we started at Ride Main Carnival last year, and my son was standing next to me and he said, go live on that page. So I went live, and he shares it. If people share the broadcast while you're on it, lots more people join
in. Of course,
yeah. And then of course you can watch it on the replay. So we had a lot of viewers very quickly to that page. It grew the page very fast, because, you know, Mary will say, oh, Sue, your little Johnny was in the parade. So they tag each other, and it's great, because that's, you know, that's good for the island. All the good things happening on the island, that's what we want. But on the evening of the Illuminated Carnival for Ride, it was raining, and I stood out in Dover Street in the rain with an umbrella up and a camera. You know, I need more hands, but I've actually now got a tripod that I use, so I can actually be hands-free, and I have a microphone, so I have a little bit of equipment, but you don't need much equipment to go live. But I had people coming in and making comments, because when you're live streaming they can put comments on the screen, and they were saying, thank you so much, Lynn, for standing out in the rain, because we're enjoying it and we're sitting on our sofa in our PJs. But it suits me, it's fine. I don't mind.
That's an ideal, I would think that's an ideal event to live stream from, because like you say, it brings it to people who just can't be there themselves for whatever reason.
That's right, yes. I mean, one of the biggest one we've had so far on the Isle of Wight live page was the flash mob. There has been two flash mobs that I've live streamed in Tesco's.
Yeah.
And one of them actually reached 8,000 viewers in a few days.
That's fantastic, isn't
yes,
it? That shows the power of what can be achieved.
That's right, yes, yeah, absolutely.
That is brilliant. So Ventnor, you don't live in Ventnor, do you?
No, I don't.
You
live I'll have to get the bus, old Southern Vectis.
Excellent. And a very good service I think they're providing in and out of Ventnor at the moment. But I don't know if you... It's just such a wonderful atmosphere, though, isn't it, when they have the carnival?
Oh, yes.
And a wonderful atmosphere, because it's exactly the same time as the Ventnor Fringe.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is going on there.
Yes, and I believe that you have a performance. Actually, no, I think you're performing, aren't you, over there?
I'm performing there tomorrow in Dye Blondes at 6:30 at the Long Room, which is, people don't know where the Long Room is, it's at the Ventnor Winter Gardens, and that's glorious because they've got an upstairs cocktail bar, Lynn.
Whoa.
A real... kind of the top deck, so when you stand up there you feel like you're on an ocean liner.
Oh,
so you're looking out on the sea, and it's just stunning. We were sitting up there last night in the sunshine, and it was so special. And then met up with Donna Jones, and we did our show yesterday, and then I'm doing the solo show Dye Blondes there tomorrow. And obviously that's why they're having the fireworks, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, of course it is. Why not? So that's earlier. So I shall come over before the fireworks, because hopefully I could get to see the show.
Lovely.
And then do the firework, the carnival, and then do the fireworks. I better make sure that my battery packs are all... charged up, because of course live streaming does take a lot of battery power.
You sound like when those kind of superwomen people had them on their backs, you know, and they just jets streamed off, you know, flew up into the sky, doing good all around the globe.
They're actually quite small, so not really. But I do my best. I'm trying very hard. So,
well, last night the observatory was definitely the place to be in Ventnor. You know, it was banging out the music and the lights, and it was just wonderful to see people up there dancing and a DJ doing a set. It's just a fantastic vibe because it just brings Ventnor to life. It's just so pretty.
And Ventnor, I mean, I wasn't born and bred on the island. I grew up in London and came to the island when I was 50. But we used to holiday on the island year in and year out. And Mum and Dad timed it for, I think, around the Ventnor Carnival and some of the carnivals. And it was amazing. And I have very, very fond memories. We used to enter sandcastle competitions and fancy dress and all sorts. So
have you ever been in a carnival?
Yes.
Have you? What float were you on?
I've not here on the island. No. I've been in carnivals back in London. I used to run a nursery school, and we entered Hamwell Carnival and Greenford Carnival. I remember spending hours and hours painting big flowers to go on the carnival float. So we did a circus one time, because I used to do shows with my nursery school children, and I used to make all the costumes for them. And then actually, as it was already like that, well, why don't we just decorate a float as well? So it was lots of fun.
I imagine the kids must be so, you know, just thrilled when to be part of something like that.
Yes,
wonderful.
It was amazing. Yes.
And the one of the loveliest ones I really enjoy seeing at Ventnor is Sid the dog. He's the Ventnor Fringe mascot,
right?
And he belongs to one of the organisers' mums, and he's no stranger to a costume.
I can imagine.
And he really works them. And yeah. He's also appeared in a play, Shakespearean play, playing a dog, which was useful, handy, easy. But I had an interview with him yesterday. So that was really just lovely. You know, how good is that? So
that's wonderful.
If you haven't gone over to Ventnor Fringe, please go today. It's on until Sunday. And it's just go and soak up the vibe, because it's just the most wonderful thing, and have a glimpse through the programme. There's lots of free stuff as well that you can enjoy, and there's stuff going on in the park, and there's all sorts of pop-up venues. And if you've, like I say, if you've never been to Ventnor, now is definitely the time to go and enjoy it. And if you know it of old, go and experience it for these special couple of days, because the organiser there, they describe it as their kind of Christmas, because it's just one big party town. It's just so lovely. And yeah, go and enjoy it, and go try and get to the carnival and enjoy the fireworks, because fireworks over the sea, I don't know about you, Lynn, but there's something very special about that, isn't there?
There is, yes. And actually, last week I was down in East Cowes, and first of all, I live streamed the Red Arrows at the end of Cowes Week, and then I've live streamed the fireworks for the end of Cowes Week.
Brilliant.
So that was, you know, that was lovely, and people really enjoyed it, and people across the country were coming in and watching it. So
yeah, fantastic. Yeah, it's like you say, you're taking it to people who just can't get there, so it's like just like a news broadcast, isn't it, on the TV? Isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
I think people hear the word live streaming and think, what's that, and get a bit kind of like worried about it, but it's just like watching a news broadcast.
Yes, I've encouraged lots more people now to go live stream, but they say, oh, I'm too scared. I said, well, feel the fear and do it anyway. So some of them have just done that, and I said, what's the worst that can happen? You can push the button to stop it and delete the broadcast. Anyway, several of people have gone and done it, but now there's an even easier way to ease them into it, because Facebook have now allowed you to do a broadcast and bring somebody into your broadcast that's somewhere else. So a lot of my hashtag ATN live interviews that I do are me sitting in Ryde and someone maybe in Shanklin or Sandown. Although we did have an issue the other day, and I was interviewing Tina Hyde, and we couldn't connect. So what we did, we were due on air at 8 o'clock, and it was 6:30, so I jumped on the bus, she got the car, and we met at Lakeside, where they have fantastic broadband and white fiber there, and we did the interview sitting side by side rather than coming into the, you know, sitting in different places.
Yeah, brilliant. So, there's always a way around it.
Oh, you can always make it happen if you want to.
And I just want to take the opportunity quickly to say thank you to everybody who turns up at the events like the Ventnor Fringe, Eclectica, Isle of Wight Literary Festival, all the fabulous festivals that we have here on this island. You know, the people that are going to the Garlic Festival that's coming up and went to the Chell Show, because without people going to these events, they wouldn't happen. So a big thank you to everybody who gets off their armchairs and turns up to these really special events that we have here on the Isle of Wight. They're all so unique and they're so wonderful, and people put in hours to make them happen. So big thanks to the team at the Ventnor Fringe this weekend, all the volunteers and Jack and Vari and Joe and everybody who's there making that event so special. And to the audience that turned up last night for my show with Donna Jones, which we just had false teeth, fake fur, true love. And we had a sellout, and it wouldn't have been a sellout without all of you coming. So thank you, and you were all lovely. And somebody actually set off party poppers at the end, Lynn.
Oh, how wonderful.
How fantastic was that? Never had that. That was just
amazing.
Like, yay. We've made it. Woohoo.
Good.
So great. That was just great fun. But genuinely, thank you, because that means a lot for all the artists and for all the organisers. And, you know, it means it happens again next year. When there is success, it happens again next year.
Excellent.
So thank you. And another, well, one of these lovely events that goes on, typical, is the Island in Bloom, isn't it? Isle of Wight in Bloom.
Yes. Isle of Wight in Bloom, Ryde in Bloom. I'm not quite sure how many blooms there are across
lots
the
and
island.
Lots, yeah.
But because I live in Ryde, obviously, and I was chair of Ryde Business Association before, which is how I got connected, I'm now a judge for Ryde in Bloom.
So do you get hay fever, Lynn?
No, fortunately I don't. And I do love beautiful flowers. And I think I got invited onto the committee because I live stream the flowers, or always taking pictures and putting the flowers up on social media, because Ryde Town Council do a fantastic job of getting, this is the town council themselves. They get to do a fantastic job of getting those baskets all along the front by the bus station and planters all round the town, and they're marvellous. And I just kept taking pictures and pushing them out, and I think that's part of why they chose me to be a judge for it.
When I went down to Pride a couple of weeks ago, you know, the island's
yes.
sort of first ever Pride event, which was a great success, I noticed as I was walking back to the train station that, you say, these beautiful baskets and planters everywhere, just stunning.
They are. And last year they had there were the square plant, big square planters along, there's some on railings, but there's planters on Western Gardens and along near going towards the where the ice rink was and along there. And the brownies helped, so one of the brownie packs helped to plant them up last year, and it was torrential rain, but these brownies were having fantastic time getting muddy. You know, they didn't care that it was pouring with rain. They got totally muddy, but of course it was good for the flowers they were planting with lots of rain.
Oh, how lovely.
And it was marvellous.
so tell us a little bit about what that involves. So as a judge, I mean, we've entered our garden, so I know that feeling of being on the other side, mm-hmm. but I've never judged a competition like that. What's that like?
Well, yes, it was the first time I was doing it this year, although I've been part of the team. Previously, I was talking, last year we had Ryde in Bloom, but then we were put into the Southeast in Bloom, and at that point I was talking to judges about social media and the planting. But this year I've actually was a judge judging the Ryde gardens, and it involved going to lots of places, allotments, front gardens, community gardens, all sorts of there were lots of different categories, and so it's quite difficult. So there was a criteria. We had a score sheet, so it was all sorts of questions, you know, how much for the sort of basically different things, the sustainability and the ease of the site, was it a difficult site to, you know, to plant, and all that sort of thing. There were lots of criteria which gave us a way of scoring, you know, so we could score, so we could work out, you know, who were the winners in each category.
So does that help take some of the subjectivity over it? Because one, you know, somebody would love a cottage garden, somebody's idea of hell would be a rock garden. Yeah,
yes.
That must come into it as well.
Yes, it did, because, you know, some people might just like the wow factor of all the beautiful colours, but then there were other gardens that had all sorts of different things planted in. So you'd have vegetables and you'd have flowers and you'd have trees and all sorts, which might not look have that wow factor for somebody looking on, but actually wow factor in a different way. So yes, it definitely, I don't know how we would have done it if we hadn't had the criteria sheet.
And so who's won, don't you?
I do, yes, but I can't say.
No. Top secret.
Top secret.
All
yes.
will be revealed.
Yes, I shall get shot if I if I say anything on air.
Please tell me that when you went round, you had one of those squirty pinhole, you know, kind of flowers that clowns have.
Do you know I didn't? I shall make sure I do next time.
And did anybody try to bribe you, Lynn?
No, unfortunately. I mean, no, they didn't.
And was there coffee and cake on offer at those gardens?
There was coffee and cake for the judges when we stopped at the marina. It won't influence whether the marina bowls place, but they were such friendly people. They said, come in and have a coffee and a cake. But, you know, I don't think it influenced the judging. So it just kept us able to keep going on our merry way.
Lovely. Brilliant. So how many, I mean, it must be phenomenal. How many gardens did you judge?
Do you know, I can't remember. I haven't got the list, and I didn't actually count them, but unfortunately, not enough. There were quite a lot. Yes, it takes a lot, but there are so many beautiful gardens out there that don't put themselves. The people don't put themselves forward, and I'm always taking pictures of people's front gardens as I walk by, just to cheer up my social media page. And there are some in Ryde that didn't appear. They hadn't entered, and it's such a shame. So, I want people to enter, because it's just lovely for everybody else to see that, you know. So some gardens we've seen, Karen did put a note through their door and say, please consider entering next year. So,
well, that's a nice idea. But I think I would say it has to be up to the owner of the garden, because if it's their treasured pride and joy and they don't get placed, I mean, that would just be so devastating, wouldn't it?
It would. But what was really nice was we decided to, we weren't told that we had to, but we knocked on the doors of where we were going and managed to talk to a lot of the people who'd created these marvellous gardens or courtyards or whatever it was. And that was wonderful, because you actually got to learn much more about how the garden came to be. And one of the gardens had a watering system that you couldn't see. It was marvellous. And the lady had been away for weeks, but her garden was still fantastic. So she'd set up, as I say, you couldn't see it. It was all hidden, but we wouldn't have known it if we hadn't spoken to her.
Lovely. And do you take part in the open gardens where they open them for charity, the big national scheme?
I haven't, but I really ought to do that. But yes, I should go and do that some more. I actually don't have a garden myself. Well, I say that, I've got a teeny patch, and actually I'm going to try and create a lot within that teeny patch next year. So but I obviously I can't be a judge if I'm I can't enter if I'm a judge. I don't know whether I'm going to be a judge next year or not, but okay. I just love, you know, I love pretty gardens.
Yeah. But the National Garden Scheme is not judged, it's simply just open for charity, and people go, and there's a set fee that you pay at the door, and then you buy tea and cake.
Yes, I'm going to say, I think I've heard tea and cake on offer.
Have a good old nose around the garden.
Yes.
And if the weather's on your side, it's the most beautiful way to spend an hour or so, you know. Yes. It's lovely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to put my hand up and admit that I make a beeline for the tea and cake, because they're always homemade and they're always absolutely delicious.
Oh, well, that's amazing. And there's some really wonderful people out there. In fact, I just remember something I did yesterday, and I just, if you don't mind, there was tea and cake on offer yesterday, and it was all homemade. And it was the Jigsaw Festival down in East Cowes.
Brilliant. So the Jigsaw Festival, is that as the name would imply?
It is, yes. It's St James's Church in East Cowes, down near the, not far from the ferry. And every year, this was the 23rd year, they have a Jigsaw Festival for a week. And they set up jigsaws all over the, all around the church, all across the pews. And 350 on display at any one time. But you can go and buy them. And so when that one's gone, they'll put another one up for the next people to buy. And I did a live stream around there yesterday. It was marvellous.
And are they all new jigsaws?
No, they're jigsaws that people have donated. Next week, I shall be doing jigsaws with my grandchildren, because my mum bought some jigsaws for them. And I'm going on granny duty. So guess what? I'm going to be doing jigsaws.
The brilliant things. But I just don't know, kids, it's great to hear that kids do jigsaws anymore.
Yeah, some do. I mean, it depends. You know, a lot sit in front of tablets and things all the time. But there are still families who would do that sort of thing. And I'm going to be on holiday with my grandchildren, and we will be on the beach a lot of the time. But, you know, perhaps when we get back from the beach where our tea's cooking, we can actually get on and do one of these jigsaws. So.
That sounds idyllic. Sounds really lovely, Lynn. So thank you so much for joining me. It's been really special talking to you. And I really do wish you'd live streamed it, so you're going to have to come back. And
oh, yes, I didn't even think about it, so sorry. And then, I don't know why.
Then radio could go visual, and I really like that
yes,
idea.
Yes, that would be really good. We'll have to do that. So yeah. Yeah. Or I can come and live stream one of your other guests.
That would be, and you could join in, so that would be an absolute, love the sound of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so joyful talking to you. Have a smashing weekend. And enjoy the time with your grandchildren, because that's by far the most best way to spend your time. And I wished you all the luck with your fundraising events at Aspire. So, and the Medieval Banquet and your business expo coming up on the 29th of September and the 14th of October. So look out for those. Okay.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And to all of you, thank you very much for listening. Please follow us on Twitter at Vectors Radio and on Facebook. And if you fancy doing this yourself and you're young, you know, about a quarter of my age, check out the Vectors Radio Training School at www.4ps.org.uk. And even if you don't want to do this kind of thing, media as a career, just come. It's a great confidence boost, especially if you've got some interviews coming up. Okay, check out. Just come and contact Ian Mack here at Vectors Radio. All right, have a lovely, lovely weekend. Lovely being in your company. Take care now. Bye. www.vectorsradio.com.